This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson on the New Hampshire campaign trail. National leaders of six conservative organizations yesterday broke with the Republican majorities in the House and Senate, accusing them of spending like drunken sailors, and had some strong words for Bush as well. The Republican Congress is spending at twice the rate as under Bill Clinton, and Bush has yet to sign a single veto, Paul W. Weyrich, National Chairman of Coalitions for Americans, said at a news briefing with the five other leaders. Warning of adverse consequences in the November elections, the leaders said the Senate must reject the latest House-passed omnibus spending bill, or Mr. Bush should veto the measure. The whole purpose of having a Republican president is to lead the Republican Congress, said Paul Beckner, president of Citizens for a Sound Economy. If the president doesn't take a stand on this, there's a real chance the Republicans' voter base will not be enthusiastic about turning out in November, no matter who the Democrats nominate. Howard Dean received significantly more criticism on network newscasts than the other Democratic presidential contenders who were the subjects of more favorable coverage, according to a study released Thursday. More than three-quarters of the coverage of Dean's foes by the nightly news programs was favorable, while the majority of attention to Dean was negative, the Center for Media and Public Affairs found. A study by the Washington-based media watchdog also found the network attention to the campaign was down by 62%. Compared to the last race involving an incumbent president in 1996. Saddam Hussein warned his Fedayeen militia against throwing in their lot with the Islamic militants flocking to Iraq to fight U.S. forces, according to a document found with the deposed dictator when he was captured. The ousted leader told Iraqi militants that Muslim extremists had a different agenda to the Ba'ath Party when they wanted to launch a religious war and establish an Islamic State in Iraq. In contrast, the aims of Saddam's supporters were limited to the expulsion of U.S.-led coalition invaders and a return to secular power in Baghdad. Following the end of the main military campaign last year, it had been feared thousands of foreign fighters would flood Iraq, seeking an Islamic jihad similar to the way in which Arabs rushed to Afghanistan in the 1980s to resist the Soviet occupation. The document, which officials say is genuine, also throws more doubt on earlier claims by Washington and London that Saddam had links with al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. More after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's one in six people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit upheld disability payments to a Hawaiian man hurt in a barroom incident involving U.S. soldiers on Johnston Atoll. The court granted disability benefits to Michael Ilizaxet, who required hip surgery after crashing to the floor of a social club on the atoll after he bet soldiers $100 that one of them could not high kick over his head without touching him. This is Michael Stinson on the New Hampshire campaign trail.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Murder is not anything I could ever commit, but there are a few individuals whose obituaries I could read without feeling terribly sad. I must admit, however, that one thing does induce murderous thoughts in my otherwise gentle head: car alarms. Like a demon screeching from the deepest reaches of hell, these satanic devices whoop, beep, razz, whine, and irritate in the most intrusive way, shattering the civility of entire neighborhoods and jangling even the calmest of souls. They seem programmed specifically to go off in the wee hours of morning, rudely awakening families for blocks around in an act of urban harassment. Car alarms are sold in the name of theft protection, but that's a joke. An independent survey of 73 million insurance claims for robbery of vehicles reveals that cars with alarms, quote, show no overall reduction in theft losses. Why? two reasons. First, nearly all of the whooping is due to false alarms caused by a passing motorcycle, a thump by a cat, or simply because the damn thing decides on its own to interrupt our peace and tranquility. They go off so often that most of us always assume it's a false alarm. An insurance company found that fewer than 1% of people would call the cops because of a blaring car alarm. Second, it's rare to hear an alarm when the car is actually being stolen because real thieves can easily deactivate the devices in only seconds. As one expert puts it, car alarms work about as well as fuzzy dice at deterring theft. Far from stopping crime, they often cause it, as irate neighbors go out in their jammies to puncture tires, sledgehammer hoods, and even shoot the offending vehicles. Plus, all of this is unnecessary, since there are engine immobilizers that can prevent nearly all auto thievery. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help kill screeching car alarms, call Transportation Alternatives, 212-629-8080.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. How's your Friday been? Mine has been very interesting. Program produced tonight by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. A little later in the program tonight, Simple Scotty McClellan will preview for us Bush's State of the Union speech. That comes up a little bit later in the program. And he also has, he explains compassionate conservatism for us in case you don't have a working definition for that. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. You can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. And right off the bat here, I've been asked to make another plea from Shelby Lepre, who runs RadioPower.org, to please support her site, or she will not be able to provide the services that she provides. If you take advantage of those services at RadioPower.org, I don't care where you live on the planet, then you should be contributing. It's that simple, okay? She says if she doesn't get some money, she's ready to throw up her hands and walk the earth in search of the Buddha. So I would say, please, send her $10. Go to radiopower.org. What the hell happened today? I don't get up until late in the afternoon, except when I'm disturbed by telemarketers or other jackasses that call me on the phone. God, I hate that. But I woke up this morning about, what was it, Kathy, about quarter till 11, and which is quarter till 8 on the West Coast. And as I usually do, I've flipped on CNN. And it was like they were getting ready for the invasion of Normandy. Now, that's half you people don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It looked like they were getting ready for the fall of the Berlin Wall. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. It took about 15 or 20 minutes, you know. And at my age, when I wake up, it takes me 20 minutes to wake up. I've got to do all sorts of things to wake up. I've got to hit my chest real hard to get my heart started. I have to prop open my eyelids with toothpicks, until I can stumble downstairs and get a cup of coffee. Or Kathy, if it's one of her better days, she'll bring a cup of coffee to me. But eventually I woke up, and there on CNN and MSNBC, Michael Jackson is about to arrive at the courthouse. In where? Where was it, Kathy? Santa Clara, Santa Barbara, Santa Inez, Santa Cruz, Santa whatever. I couldn't believe it. Now, I'm watching CNN. Barbara Starr reports that General Sanchez over there is launching a probe. This is what Chris in Minnesota wrote to me. General Sanchez is launching a probe into allegations of beatings of Iraqi detainees by our soldiers. Miles O'Brien is anchoring. He says, we want to talk to you about this, Barbara, but we're going to have to switch gears and go out to Los Angeles, California, where Michael Jackson is about to be arraigned. Michael Jackson. Well, if the Iraqis were human beings, we probably, we probably would have left the camera to find out what our guys are doing to beat them senseless. But they're not human beings. Iraqis are just towel heads and rag heads and sand niggers, right? Isn't that what they're being called? So we have to focus on Michael Jackson. Robert emails in, Mike, on tonight's ABC Evening News, the coverage of Michael Jackson's court appearances took up about 4.5 minutes of the half-hour show, and Bush's appointment... recess appointment of this racist pig, Judge Pickering, took up about 15 seconds. What is that ratio? Robert writes, about 18 to 1 in favor of Michael Jackson over Bush's sneaky, racist appointment of this Judge Pickering, this Mississippi punk who for 2 years has been trying to weasel his way into the federal appeals court and has been defeated every time. Old Charles Pickering of Mississippi by Democrats. So what does Bush do? Well, this is an election year. And he's got to motivate the religious fanatics, the crazy people out there. So he does a recess appointment of Judge Pickering, which means he's in there for a year until the next Congress comes in. Dear God, I'll tell you, if you're a Democrat and you don't go to vote November the 2nd, I don't care what the election is, if it's for dog catcher. If you don't get off your ass and go vote, this country's gone. And you will have given it away. Okay? And that applies to me, too. I'm a Democrat, too. And I swear, if every single Democrat doesn't go vote in every single race that's available, and if you have suspicions that the voting machines are rigged, then you need to file a complaint. You need to go get the sheriff. You need to do something. But please, don't sit home on your ass this year. We can't afford to have you do that, right? Okay. Okay. All right. But there it was today. Michael Jackson, 8:30 in the morning, 11:30 in the morning here in the East. Actually 11 o'clock here in the East, 8 o'clock on the West Coast, and the cameras... And the dish transmission things and thousands of people showing up. Michael Jackson impersonators, signs. He's innocent. We love you. It's the love tour. And media, global media focused on this. Huh? Am I getting too worked up about this? Yeah, I probably am. You want to know what's wrong with this country? You want to know why it's easy sometimes to say, God, I'm ashamed to be an American. What happened today on television is, definitively speaking, the reason some of us occasionally say that, I'm ashamed to be an American. There is so much that needs to be done, that needs to be examined, covered, explored, reported upon. And where are the cable networks? Where is everybody? Michael Jackson. Oh, Jesus, please kill me and get it over with. Oh, my God. What has happened to us? What has happened? Oh, well. I got an email from Sandra in League City, Texas. Mike, I will give my primary vote to Wesley Clark. He's my candidate of choice not only for the electability factor, but because he's hitting Bush harder than any of the other candidates at this time. He's getting more and more liberal with every passing day. And I'm not swayed by his past votes for Republicans. He voted twice for Clinton for Gore. I'm swayed by his outrage at the criminal Bush administration. New converts are always more zealous and passionate than the old comfortable congregation types. Heck, Ronald Reagan was a registered Democrat until the year he ran for governor of California, and he's become the Republican icon. Ronald Reagan's stated hero was FDR, and this didn't stop Republicans from electing him. In fact, it created the Reagan Democrats. We need some Clark Republicans to vote Democratic this year, a new paradigm to kill the Southern strategy. Clark is the brilliant choice for Democrats. Sandra goes on here, but that is the pertinent and important part of her email. Have you been thinking about that? Kucinich supporters, Dean supporters, Kerry supporters, anybody been thinking about that point of view? Just wondered. The American Conservative Union, which is a hotbed of neo-Nazism, not neoconservatism, neo-Nazism in this country, the ACU, American Conservative Union, they filed a lawsuit in an attempt to force Dick Gephardt, Democrat and Missourian presidential candidate, to force him to refund most of his official salary this year because he spent so much time away from Capitol Hill campaigning. It's Gephardt, as a member of Congress, makes $154,700 a year. There's an obscure 1850s law. The last time it was enforced was 90 years ago. The law says that, if a person is not there, and this kind of makes sense, if the person is not there doing his job, why should he be paid, right? Gephardt missed 506 votes in the House last year, more than 90% of the total. I didn't know that. 90% of the time Gephardt was supposed to be voting, he was not. 506 votes in the House. According to The Hill, which is not a bastion of neo-Nazism, this 90% of the total that Gephardt missed is considerably more than any other Democratic lawmaker seeking the presidency. Now, the American Conservative Union said in a statement, a press release, according to this law, the House is under obligation to dock Gephardt's pay for missing so many days of work. And the ACU, American Conservative Union, intends to hold him accountable to the taxpayers who pay his salary. The law requires that the taxpayers of Missouri who pay his salary be compensated for such gross negligence. Well, the fact is, the taxpayers of Missouri do not pay his salary. The American public pays the salary. They don't divide the money coming in from Missouri and say, well, here's Gephardt's part. But never mind. The ACU says, can you name another job in which someone can consistently miss 9 out of every 10 days and still receive a full paycheck? Right. Oh, my God. Now, the ACU also plans to go after John Kerry, who missed 237 votes last year, or 59% of the total. Joe Lieberman missed 54% of the votes last year. John Edwards missed 31%. Oh, yeah, Dennis Kucinich, he missed 7%. But that really doesn't matter, does it, you know? The last recorded instance of the laws being enforced was in 1914. Oh, God. I didn't know Gephardt missed. What the hell did he do then? You know, I'm not trying to align myself with the American Conservative Union. On the other hand, the ACLU has filed an amicus brief on behalf of the pig man down in Florida. Politics does make strange bedfellows, does it not? But the question I would have, seriously, for Dick Gephardt, and if I'm ever in Washington, D.C. again, and if there's a God, I never will be, if I ever come face-to-face with Gephardt again, if there's a goddess, I never will, but if those two events were to occur, I'd like to ask him, what did you do this past year? If you missed 90% of the votes, what exactly did you do, Mr. Gephardt?
We'll be right back. I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Show.
We caught somebody doing something right. Fred D'Amato, Pocono, Pennsylvania. He put a sign out in his front yard that says, support our troops, impeach the Bush administration. Of course, Mount Pocono jumped all over him. The borough councilman, Francis O'Boyle, said, the last couple words is what's the problem. I don't think it's right to put up a sign like that and say those things. The lawyer says it's protected First Amendment speech. John Finnerty, the borough council president, says, well, if we could all express our thoughts on a piece of plywood, just think what the neighborhood would look like. It might be a slight infringement of First Amendment rights, making him take down his sign. He's facing $500 a day fines for not having his sign. However, the story in the newspaper of Mount Pocono, New York, says that D'Amato removed the sign, but on Sunday said he planned to put it back up again. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Who is this? Michael Jackson is calling?
Hello, Mr. Malloy. It's me, Michael Jackson.
You had quite a party today, didn't you?
Well, I'm not allowed to talk about any of that, but I wanted to talk about and apologize to all your listeners about how much media attention I've been receiving.
Well, it's pretty despicable. You know, there are some serious things going on, and your nonsense. Let me ask you, by the way, did you really molest the children? Are you guilty of what you're being charged with?
I'm not guilty, but who I'm in bed with isn't nearly as important as the fact that George W. Bush is in bed with corporate America.
Yeah, that's good, Michael. How's Macaulay Culkin doing these days?
He's old.
He's old. He's a little too old for you to hang out with, huh?
He's a little too old.
Yeah, I hear. I hear that. So I appreciate your calling, although I have to say, I tried to get news today, and all I saw was your strange persona on television.
It's terrible, Mr. Malloy. The people who talk about me all the time in the media are ignorant.
They're what?
Ignorant.
Ignorant?
Ignorant.
I'm not sure what that means, ignorant. Oh, you mean they ignorant?
Ignorant.
I got you. Okay, they're ignorant. How about your attorneys? You got Garagos, and now you got this new guy. This new guy seems to think this is one big joke, huh?
Well, it is a joke, Mr. Malloy, because, like I say, and I apologize for being all over the news.
Yeah.
I assure you that I don't do anything outrageous to warrant such attention.
You sleep with young boys. You're almost 40.
I didn't have a childhood.
Excuse me?
I didn't get to have a childhood.
you dangle your kid over a balcony. I mean, you bleach your skin, you carve your nose, you put indentations in your chin.
But you see, Carl Rove wants you to believe it's all part of a vast right-wing conspiracy.
You sound like you're about to cry.
I am. The shape this world is in is terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, I understand your next court hearing is the 13th of February. Boy, I can't wait for that day. Do you expect hundreds and thousands of your followers to be out there again in a month?
No. I think they're giving up on me at this point. It's terrible, Michael.
Yeah.
But I want to assure everybody that the only reason I do any of these terrible things is because the right wing is making me do it.
I see.
To cover up.
Yeah.
They're even more horrible, terrible things.
I see. So by your taking focus, television focus, that gives them cover to do all their nastiness off stage, so to speak.
Well, I haven't sold too many records lately.
Yeah, right. Well, listen,
I need the money, Michael.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. I don't know what to call you, Michael or Mr. Jackson or I.
You can call me Miss Jackson if you're nasty.
Miss Jackson. All right. Well, listen, Miss Jackson. Thanks a lot for calling. I guess, and I don't wish you any bad health or anything. But you know, I just wish you'd go away.
Going to Mars.
Ever since Thriller, you have just really been kind of a pain in the ass, if you know what I'm saying, okay?
George Bush promised to send me to Mars.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Listen, you have a great weekend, Michael, okay, or Miss Jackson, okay?
You're nasty.
Yeah, you bet I am. Goodbye, Miss Jackson.
Goodbye.
Oh, my God. How did these people get our phone number?
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
new book describes coming home to a chilly western valley that's frozen in time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Winter temperatures in Idaho's Sawtooth Valley can hit 60 below, but the landscape is frozen in another way. Parts of it look as if nothing has changed for decades. The U.S. Forest Service maintains the Sawtooth Valley as a national recreation area, having bought scenic easements on many ranches. The idea was to keep the valley from developing with the trophy homes and subdivisions that are sweeping the west. John Rember grew up in the Sawtooth Valley, and he's written a new book called Traplines. In 1987, Rember moved back to his family's land out of what he calls a homing instinct. The area looked much the same as when he went off to college in the 1960s, but he says that was an illusion.
So if you go into the valley now, it will look very much like it did in the late 60s and even the late 50s. But it's an artificial reality created by the government deciding that it was worthwhile to create what's essentially a Western museum.
Rember says the valley's modest ranches are now museum pieces, but he says it looks authentic to summer travelers, some of whom decide the valley would be an ideal place to live.
You have a lot of people trying to figure out ways to live there, and I guess the winters are our great immune system. It gets cold and dark, and the sun doesn't get very high above the Sawtooth to the west. It's a valley that's hemmed in by mountains, so in the winter, there's a lot of shadows.
Still, Rember says wealthy people have bought many of the ranches, putting up big log homes to use as summer retreats, but he says he still feels connected to the land he grew up on.
I feel very lucky, and as I point out in the book, there are worse lives than those lived in museums.
That's John Rember, author of Traplines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk. Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, Rick in Bellingham, Washington, emailed in. Mike, yesterday I was watching Larry King interview Ann Richards on CNN. For the most part, the interview about her support of Howard Dean was going well until the inevitable happened. King actually interrupted the flow and said, "So what do you make of this Martha Stewart stuff?" I could have screamed. And, of course, he follows up with, "And Kobe Bryant and Michael Jackson." Ann Richards' response was quick and made it clear she didn't care. She also did him the favor of not pointing out what an idiot he was. Dean himself called a few moments later and helped bail her out. With everything going on in our country, the idea that anyone would waste a single moment on Kobe Bryant or Martha Stewart or Lacey Peterson is inexplicable and unforgivable. Rick in Bellingham. Yeah, this tabloidization of what's left of this whorish, miserable, street-walking press that we have in this country is just, it's unconscionable. I can't understand it. This is mainstream media. I can understand the Globe, some of these tabloids that you can pick up at the newspaper checkout counter, the Star, the Inquirer. That's why we have People magazine, right? But mainstream media following this stuff. It's the further corruption and degradation of this society. Which, this would be a good time to bring this up that Ryan sent me. He works for the Idaho State Journal. He says, on a whim, Mike, I was searching for quotes from the novel 1984 for a project I decided to get going. The whole book is actually online. And I came across this passage. This is from the book. Nevertheless, Winston did not speak for another moment or two. A feeling of weariness had overwhelmed him. The faint, mad gleam of enthusiasm had come back into O'Brien's face. He knew in advance what O'Brien would say, that the party did not seek power for its own ends, but only for the good of the majority, that it sought power because men in the masses were frail, cowardly creatures who could not endure liberty or face the truth, and must be ruled over and systematically deceived by others who were stronger than themselves. That the choice for mankind lay between freedom and happiness, and that for the great bulk of mankind, happiness was better. That the party was the eternal guardian of the weak, a dedicated sect doing evil, that good might come, sacrificing its own happiness to that of others. The terrible thing, thought Winston, the terrible thing was that when O'Brien said this, he would believe it. You could see it in his face. O'Brien knew everything. A thousand times better than Winston, he knew what the world was really like, in what degradation the mass of human beings lived, and by what lies and barbarities the party kept them there. He had understood it all, weighed it all, and it made no difference. All was justified by the ultimate purpose. What can you do, thought Winston, against the lunatic who is more intelligent than yourself, who gives your arguments a fair hearing and then simply persists in his lunacy? End of quote. Ryan says in his email, you've said it before, but it's never really clicked until I read that. It is here. This is Bush's America. This is what we have to fight. Ryan says, I hope it's not too late for us, but the fascism has not yet metastasized as to be beyond removal. Yeah, I have not dug out one of my old musty, dusty copies of 1984, or for that matter, Animal Farm, and I need to, because so much of what Orwell wrote, so much of what Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf, it's here. Hello, it's here. It's here. It's now. It's going on. I keep thinking what happened here in Atlanta yesterday when Too Stupid to Be President showed up for a fundraiser and decided, I'll go place a wreath. That'll get me the Negroes. That'll give me a good photo op, and the Negroes will look at that. Won't they, Carl? Won't they, Carl? They'll see that. They'll see me putting the wreath down on what's-his-name's grave, and then I'll bow my head and pretend like I'm praying, and the Negroes will see that, and they'll be mightily impressed, won't they, Carl? And then I'll go collect a lot of money from the stupid here in Georgia. And I think what greeted this thug when he showed up over here on Auburn Avenue at the King Center with hundreds of people out there screaming at this bastard, get out of here, go home, go away, get away from here. You don't represent anything that Martin stood for or believed in or fought for or was assassinated over. Get out of here. It was visceral. And how did the powers that be here in Atlanta react? On orders of the Secret Service, they brought in huge city buses and put them nose to ass in front of the people standing there trying to let this thug know he wasn't welcome here. Go do your fundraiser, George. Get away from the tomb of Martin Luther King. Now, Scotty McClellan. How did Scotty McClellan spin this? Well, at the press briefing today, you got that one, Kathy? At the press briefing today, reporter said, Scott, yesterday what happened in Atlanta to President Bush? Is the president looking at possibly putting some kind of issue of race relations in the State of the Union? Especially since many African Americans feel that they're off the radar screen here at the White House?
Well, the president has pursued policies that benefit all Americans. I would remind you that this president has pursued a compassionate conservative agenda from the very first day of this administration. The president has often talked about how we must address the soft bigotry of low expectations, yeah. And that is what his education reforms do.
Liar.
Because reading is the key to success.
What?
And receiving a quality, first-rate public education is the key to a brighter future for all Americans.
Yeah, no kidding, Scott. Why is it then your stupid boss has gutted Head Start, reading programs, funding for libraries, education?
From the very first day of this administration, logging, arsenic, mercury, overtime wage losses, drug plans for seniors, education cuts, privacy rights. But there he stands. There he stands.
Now, remember when the University of Michigan was sued by some of the students because they just figured that those Negroes were getting a leg up on them, huh? And Bush said he was for affirmative access, whatever that means, when he filed his amicus brief. Well, his administration did. He wouldn't know an amicus brief from Amerigo Vespucci. But the same reporter here continues on Bush's race problem. He says, Scott, I take it with your answer then, the president is not going to deal with race relations in the State of the Union. Okay, Scott. You know, some civil rights leaders are very upset yesterday. You saw by the mob that greeted the president. They are concerned, these leaders, that civil rights is not on the table here at the White House. Jesse Jackson said it was an insult for Bush to lay a wreath at King's grave. Is the White House trying to embrace the African-American community? We know that they are going out for the Hispanic community. But will there be an effort, Scott, as the Republicans are trying to get 25% to 40% of the black vote in 2004?
The president focuses on results. Look at the results that we are achieving on behalf of the American people, and that includes the African-American community. Certainly, you brought up his visit yesterday. I was there with the president, and the president very much appreciated the very warm welcome he received from Mrs. King, other members of the King family, and the King Center. He was honored to go and participate in a wreath-laying ceremony at the tomb of Dr. King.
Aside from the fact, you moron, that that doesn't answer any part of the reporter's question, your answer is very cagey, though. A very warm welcome? No. No, you didn't get a warm welcome from Mrs. King. You did not. You got a polite, courteous welcome from Mrs. King and other members of the King family and the King Center. They don't like you, Scott. They don't like your boss. They don't like anything about your party. You'll be lucky to get the same 9% of the African-American vote this year that you got 4 years ago. No, Scott, he wasn't warmly welcomed. He was screamed at because he is a crypto-fascist, just like you are, my man. But, of course, that's why they pay Scott, to get out there and be the whore. God, he's good at it. Oh, my God, he's good at it. Tom is calling from Washington, Iowa. Hey, Tom.
Hi.
How you doing?
Doing well. need a little advice on the Iowa caucuses. I'm going Monday night.
Yeah?
I don't know if you know how they work.
Kind of, sort of, folks.
Yeah, but you show up at 6:30, and at 7 o'clock you go and stand for your, you know, essentially they divide people up in different parts of the room, and you stand for your candidate.
Right.
You know, and then if you've got, depending on how many delegates you got, if you got a certain percentage of the people there, you might get a delegate.
To the convention.
To the county convention.
County convention.
Goes to the congressional district convention, which goes to the state convention. So it's an involved process.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have 15%, then they've got a period of time where you can kind of trade votes, join another caucus, or join another group, and so forth.
Right.
And if anybody's left after that and doesn't have a delegate, you get a third chance to switch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stand for Kucinich,
mm-hmm.
see how things go.
Right.
I doubt that he gets the percentage he's going to need. This is a county where, if you want any influence on county politics, you better vote in the Republican primary.
Really?
Yeah, it's that kind of county.
Yeah.
a lot of Mennonites, a lot of Amish who don't participate too much.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot of Democrats.
Right.
So I'm going to stand for Kucinich, but then where in the hell do I go after that?
Well, where will you go? Where will you go?
Yeah, I don't know. That's my question. I want to see Gephardt lose.
Well, really, since Clark is not participating in these caucuses,
no, he's not participating.
Okay, so that means Dean.
or Carrie, I suppose.
Dean or Carrie?
Yeah, and Edwards is coming up. I don't think I'd ever go for it. The DLC people just, I think Carrie's one of those people, too, really turned me off. But I guess it leaves me with Dean, but Dean, I'm uneasy with Dean. it's really a question. It's really a problem. Where to go?
Would if Wesley Clark were available, would you go for him?
I don't know. I mean, he's...
Okay, so you're sort of lost after the Kucinich thing.
Yeah, I really am. I think Dean may be the best, but I've got some uneasy feelings about him. I think he's too much of a centrist. I think we need to keep Kucinich in there to keep these people from, you know, just all of them becoming Republican light. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if anybody's got any ideas out there. That's my question.
Is it valid to ask this?
Yeah.
Here's my question.
Okay.
Is Republican light better than neo-fascist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not gonna vote for anybody but a Democrat.
Because that question, I guess I wanted you to answer it, but it's kind of a rhetorical question that's been bouncing around inside of my head.
Right.
Because I hate it. You know, I hate the idea of having to vote Republican light in order to get rid of this killer in the White House. I will do it. But I hate doing it. It's just been bouncing around inside my head, and there are an awful lot of Republicans light in this primary on the Democratic side.
Yeah, Gephardt, as far as I'm concerned, I hope he loses in Iowa. I think he's got to go.
He
voted for the Patriot Act. He voted for the they wrote the war resolution. Voted for the 87 million. He's just, I agree with him a lot on his domestic things, but his stand on this war is atrocious.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think my choice is going to have to be Dean, but
as a second choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I remember most about Gephardt was when the war started. I believe it was a war, and there was Bush in the Rose Garden or someplace.
And
there's Gephardt's a smiley face. Right there, and it was like, oh my God. So
I don't think he could beat Bush. I mean, the guy almost has anti-charisma.
Yeah,
he's just not.
Well, he's got the backing of organized labor, which in Iowa may be the kiss of death.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe in the bigger cities it won't. But
yeah,
I don't know. But I think what I'll do, if you don't mind, I'll give you a call after the caucus.
Yeah, please do. I'm hoping we'll get some calls from Iowa. We will be on the air Monday night, even though it's a holiday. We're gonna work.
The caucus. If you're there at 7 o'clock, you get to vote.
Yeah.
They go through the.
Well, be there at 7, will you?
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right, Tom. We'll look to hear from you Monday.
I got one more thing.
Okay, quickly.
Talking about fascism,
yeah.
I really got to recommend a book by a guy named Bertram Gross. I don't know if people have talked about it before, called Friendly Fascism.
Friendly Fascism.
And he's got a couple of checklists. This was written in 1980.
Okay.
And he's got a checklist of, you know, what to look for.
Yeah.
And in 1980, he said that we're not there yet. But if you go through that checklist today, it scares the hell out of you.
Well, you're also familiar, I would imagine, a book written in 1997 by Martin Lee entitled The Beast Reawakens.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one.
Yeah.
I'll check yours out.
Yeah, Friendly Fascism.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, I'll give you a call Monday night and we'll see what happened.
Will do. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, take care. Friendly Fascism. Did you write that down, Kathy? Okay, I did. Dan is calling from San Diego. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine. Just in time to say, hey, Dan, and then put you on hold because we got to take a break. We'll come right back, okay?
Great.
All right, we'll come right back to you. Like footprints.
friends whisper on the wind.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Dan has called from San Diego. Dan, thanks for holding on.
Congratulations to you and Kathy.
Oh, thank you. On being pregnant?
Yes.
Yeah, it's. I hate the morning sickness. I wake up every morning. I'm a little nauseous. No, wait, that's her. Never yeah. mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a political prisoner here in America now, being a liberal atheist just like you. And so while I was applying to medical schools, I went out on a limb and I applied to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I got into New Zealand, so I'm going to be going there in March.
Well, bless your heart. What is the university? I know nothing about New Zealand schools.
It's the University of Auckland, and it's one of the top-rated universities in in that area.
So now you just you went through the usual a process of applying to medical school.
Yes.
Did they?
And,
go
yeah.
ahead.
Yeah, and just on a whim, I just decided to apply there in addition to all the American schools that I applied to.
Well, from what I've been told, you're going to love it. I have a son who's 25. When he was 16, he took about 4 or 5 weeks and backpacked across New Zealand, both the North and the South Island, because that's where his mother is from, and he had second cousins there. And when he came back with a huge Maori tattoo on his back. But he said that it was just astonishingly beautiful there.
Yeah.
I'd love to go sometime.
Yeah, you guys should come out and retire there.
Well, I also understand, though, that the New Zealand government, they're not real fond of people coming there to retire unless you show up with enough money to not only take care of your needs, which obviously I think somebody would do if they were going to retire there, but I think their immigration policies are strict. Of course, I'm white and I speak English, so that may help.
Okay. What I really wanted to call about was, our wimpy media, and it's just corporatized. And, when Scotty was talking to the press, and he was talking about how much the Bush administration has done for black people, I mean, their unemployment rate is like 10.1% right now.
Well, you're bringing up facts and truth.
Yeah.
Why would you do that with the Bush administration?
Exactly. And none of them have, the courage to say, hey, what are you talking about? And so I was thinking, what can we do to change this? Maybe we could get something like the BBC, where we have a media outlet locked in a tax trust fund that can't be corporatized.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. So maybe we can sign a bill or something, get a petition going, and get that happening.
Well, in America of 50 years ago, you might have been able to do that, but I don't think now, Dan. Hey, listen, I hope to hear from you before I'm unemployed and you leave for New Zealand. Take care, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right, appreciate your call.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. The reason I turned this man off
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No, I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson on the New Hampshire campaign trail.
National leaders of six conservative organizations yesterday broke with the Republican majorities in the House and Senate, accusing them of spending like drunken sailors, and had some strong words for Bush as well. The Republican Congress is spending at twice the rate as under Bill Clinton, and Bush has yet to sign a single veto, Paul W. Weyrich, national chairman of Coalitions for Americans, said at a news briefing with the five other leaders. Warning of adverse consequences in the November elections, the leaders said the Senate must reject the latest House-passed omnibus spending bill, or Mr. Bush should veto the measure. The whole purpose of having a Republican president is to lead the Republican Congress, said Paul Beckner, president of Citizens for a Sound Economy. If the president doesn't take a stand on this, there's a real chance the Republicans' voter base will not be enthusiastic about turning out in November, no matter who the Democrats nominate. Saddam Hussein warned his Fedayeen militia against throwing in their lot with the Islamic militants flocking to Iraq to fight U.S. forces, according to a document found with the deposed dictator when he was captured. The ousted leader told Iraqi militants that Muslim extremists had a different agenda to the Ba'ath Party when they wanted to launch a religious war and establish an Islamic State in Iraq. In contrast, the aims of Saddam's supporters were limited to the expulsion of U.S.-led coalition invaders and a return to secular power in Baghdad. Following the end of the main military campaign last year, it had been feared thousands of foreign fighters would flood Iraq, seeking an Islamic jihad similar to the way in which Arabs rushed to Afghanistan in the 1980s to resist the Soviet occupation. The document, which officials say is genuine, also throws more doubt on earlier claims by Washington and London that Saddam had links with al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. Seven students were expelled from the House Page School last Friday after they were found abusing household cleaners. School officials discovered the students apparently using aerosol dust cleaner, which can contain pressurized chemicals such as tetrafluoroethane, often used on computers as inhalants. The practice, known commonly as huffing, involves intentionally concentrating chemicals in such household cleaners, hygiene products, or glue into a plastic bag or other container, and then inhaling the substance to produce a brief high. More after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's one in six people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
10 Canadian letter carriers who refused to deliver the mail in temperatures hovering around minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit could be disciplined, officials said on Friday. Canada Post said it was probing why the employees in the city of Hull in Quebec had decided conditions were unbearable when other letter carriers around the country had coped with even worse temperatures. Officials said letter carriers were given special boots, hats, and winter coats. This is Michael Stinson on the New Hampshire Campaign Trail.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Murder is not anything I could ever commit, but there are a few individuals whose obituaries I could read without feeling terribly sad. I must admit, however, that one thing does induce murderous thoughts in my otherwise gentle head. Car alarms. Like a demon screeching from the deepest reaches of hell, these satanic devices whoop, beep, razz, whine, and irritate in the most intrusive way, shattering the civility of entire neighborhoods and jangling even the calmest of souls. They seem programmed specifically to go off in the wee hours of morning, rudely awakening families for blocks around in an act of urban harassment. Car alarms are sold in the name of theft protection, but that's a joke. An independent survey of 73 million insurance claims for robbery of vehicles reveals that cars with alarms, quote, show no overall reduction in theft losses. Why? Two reasons. First, nearly all of the whooping is due to false alarms caused by a passing motorcycle, a thump by a cat, or simply because the damn thing decides on its own to interrupt our peace and tranquility. They go off so often that most of us always assume it's a false alarm. An insurance company found that fewer than 1% of people would call the cops because of a blaring car alarm. Second, it's rare to hear an alarm when the car is actually being stolen because real thieves can easily deactivate the devices in only seconds. As one expert puts it, car alarms work about as well as fuzzy dice at deterring theft. Far from stopping crime, they often cause it, as irate neighbors go out in their jammies to puncture tires, sledgehammer hoods, and even shoot the offending vehicles. Plus, all of this is unnecessary, since there are engine immobilizers that can prevent nearly all auto thievery. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help kill screeching car alarms, call Transportation Alternatives, 212-629-8080.
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
It's about 7 past the hour. Welcome back. From Donald in Augusta, Georgia, Mike. Well, they did it again. Bush uses Michael Jackson's problems to have his media buddies out there like rabid dogs smelling his scent. Meanwhile, the evildoer appoints Lucifer's brother to the Federal Appeals Court. That, of course, is Charles Pickering. The Republicans have figured it out. Ye who controls the flow of information controls the masses. The idiot American people are tuning in to watch Jacko and Under the Radar being jacked up by the Bush crime family. You know what else happened today? Nancy Pelosi and Tom Daschle gave their policy speeches, and I bet the only people who watched it were the people in the room with them. Again, I say, this is the damnedest thing I have ever seen. How much more stupid can Americans get? They're being pissed upon and loving it. Rove, Bush, and the cartel pisses on the idiot Americans and tells them to like it, and guess what? They do. Well, Donald, you get no argument from me. It's sick. 6 hours today. Wasn't it 5 or 6 hours, Kathy? Of wall-to-wall coverage of Marcello is calling from Santa Barbara. Marcello or Marcello? I asked you this last time, and I'm sorry I forgot.
That's okay, Mike. It's Marcello.
Marcello, welcome to the program.
Oh, okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And congratulations for Kathy's pregnancy.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, just going about this election, you know, I might be wrong, but I think it's probably the most important election in the last 150 years in American history.
I think you're right, Marcello.
And, you know, the economy, at least the economy has the illusion of doing well for the very, for the person who is not well informed. And this is looking a lot like 1984, 1988, and you know what happened in those years, right?
Right.
And so I think we should stop asking ourselves who would be the best president of the United States, because the answer is obvious. The answer is Dennis Kucinich. I mean, I think he's better than Ralph Nader or something. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And look and see who has the best chance of beating that Nazi in the White House. Now, I know that an argument is made to that, but I think two people have the best chance. That's Howard Dean, that's the candidate I'm supporting, and Wesley Clark. And both has good and bad parts, you know. But the key issues, I think, is going to be the vice presidential spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you feel about John Edwards. And I think he can carry some states in the South, and that's going to be crucial.
Well, I really don't have much of an opinion on John Edwards because it's my fault. I just haven't checked him out. I know he's a first-term senator. I know he defeated a right-winger in North Carolina. I know he's an attorney. I know he comes from a fairly working-class, middle-class background. But I have to ask you something. You said you support Dennis Kucinich, and yet... I think you said that you think Dennis Kucinich would make the best president, and yet you're backing Dean. Why is that?
Well, I just I told you in the beginning, Mike. I think this is a much too important election to back the candidate, a candidate who can't win. And even if Kucinich wins the primary for some miracle, I think Dean has a better chance of winning the general election.
Well, I understand that mindset, and a lot of people feel that way. But, you know, that Kucinich is the person who could beat Bush, who could lead the country, and yet a lot of people say, I won't back Kucinich because, and usually they say something very similar to what you just said. Now, I'm not trying to get... try to get feisty or sarcastic with you, Marcelo.
Not at all.
But I wonder if everybody who thinks Kucinich would be the man to beat Bush and to lead this country back from the brink, then why not support him? Now, I'm not... It's at least through the primary season. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I think you know the answer for that. If everybody did that, his numbers would boost a lot, but not enough to make him come close to Dean,
well,
I think.
Well,
because Dean gets a lot of centrists too.
Okay, but I understand what you're saying, and you probably make sense in that assessment. But what I'm referring to is your statement that Kucinich could beat Bush.
No, I don't think he can beat Bush.
Oh, you don't think he could? Okay.
I think that Dean has a better chance of I think he might beat Bush, but I think. Dean has a better chance of beating Bush, and we can't take chances. It's too much of a risk.
Okay, well, I understand what you're saying. A lot of people feel that way. It grieves me to hear that, especially now before the first vote has been cast in a primary. Don't forget that the Iowa caucuses are not a primary. Dean was right in that tape that NBC resuscitated from 4 years ago, where Dean is saying on a Canadian cable program that I'm paraphrasing, but what he said essentially was that the Iowa caucuses really don't mean squat. And he's absolutely right. They don't mean anything. Now, I understand a lot of people say, well, Malloy, you're crazy, because people who win the Iowa caucuses... win is not the right word, but people who come out with the most votes in the Iowa caucuses usually go on to win the presidency. In some instances, that's true, in some it's not. But the thing that upsets me on a visceral gut level is this. Not a vote has been cast, and people who would normally back Dennis Kucinich, and I think that would include you, are writing him off. And I don't understand that. I've said I will support Kucinich through the primary season. I will do everything I can, and it's not much, to see him get the Democratic Party nomination. If he does not, then I will support or try to support whomever the Democratic Party nominates, unless it is
Joe Lieberman.
So
I even take Lieberman, you know, I don't think I can't vote because I'm not an American, but I can't think he can be any worse than George Bush.
Yeah. Well, I understand what you're saying, and a lot of people say that, Marcelo. I just don't quite get it. But listen, thanks for checking, and I do appreciate your call, pal. Call again, okay?
I sure will, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care. You know what I mean by that. I'm not trying to disrupt anybody's plan, but I just don't. Ever since this thing started, you know, this crazy season, and it is crazy. We have attack ads now among the Democrats That makes me sick. It just does. It makes me sick to my stomach. It makes me want to vomit blood. It makes me want to leave the Democratic Party. It makes me want to open a vein. I say this every 4 years. When they get into these contests, these primary contests, and the Democrats wind up, you know, it starts out fairly calmly, and when it gets down to this level, the slashing and the biting and the backstabbing and the opening up somebody's abdomen with a butcher knife, figuratively speaking, it begins. And it's like the Democrats have been told, okay, Karl Rove wants you people to kill each other. And the Democratic candidates say, okay, we'll do that. We'll start hacking and killing each other. It sickens me. It infuriates me. The Democrats would do this. Why isn't Gephardt and Kerry and Dean whoever the hell else, Edward, I don't even know who is considered to be, I guess those four are considered to be the front runners. Why aren't these people talking about the positive things that they will do when they are elected president of the United States? Why doesn't Dean forget Gephardt? Why doesn't Kerry ignore Dean? Why doesn't Gephardt pretend like Edwards doesn't exist? Why, you know, and just say what you will do to get us out of this slimy, putrid swamp that this Bush Republican Party has gotten us into. But there they stand, all these people. All these Democratic candidates slashing and beating each other with knives and guns. It's like that early scene in Gangs in New York where the native-borns, so-called, the Irish, the whites show up, and the immigrants, so-called, more whites show up. You know that first scene, and it's snowing, and it's winter in Five Points in New York, and then over nothing, they just fall on each other and hack and beat and kill until the snow is just red with blood. This is what these Democratic candidates, potential candidates, are doing. I hate this. It disgusts me. It turns my stomach against our system, this primary system. And what does Rove and the rest of these vicious neo-Nazis do? What are they doing? They're sitting back laughing and taking a saving videotape. So when the Democrats finally do decide somebody, and this pig, this absolute anti-American, cowardly, traitorous pig that exists in the White House right now, so that his reelection committee can run these tapes showing leading Democrats attacking and biting and gouging and slicing and hammering other Democrats. It's disgusting. It is just absolutely disgusting. Taking a page right out of Lee Atwater's playbook, Karl Rove's playbook. What the hell is wrong with Democrats? What the hell is wrong with Democrats? Especially when they get to this level. God, I'd like to be in a room with all eight of them and just say, just bitch them out. I mean, absolutely bitch them out. What is wrong with you people? Stop it. Talk about what you stand for. Talk about what you believe in. I've got enough doubts of my own, for Christ's sake. Give me something that I can hope for and work for and put my faith in. Don't stand there, Gephardt, and tell me how bad Dean is. Don't stand there, Dean, and tell me how bad Kerry is. Stop it. Yeah, that'll happen, won't it?
Could I do? Remember the unity starts with you.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on. Is democracy dead? Only time's gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start raising some hell.
Hold on. Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all 4 burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, two for and you.
Flying Monkey Ride Blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So Mike in Orlando got a little pissed off here listening to my conversation with Marcello, I guess. And Mike emails in, damn it, Malloy. I'm sick and tired of all the so-called Kucinich supporters who say they like him, but... Look at the Truth Out poll, and the truth is out. If those who say they'd vote for Kucinich but don't think he could win would just vote for him, he would win. Aren't they going to feel used when they vote for Dean and he still doesn't win? Well, there goes the vote you didn't want to waste. Damn it, Mike writes. Many who are throwing their vote to Dean think they're getting something like a Kucinich. They're not. As far as the other candidates are concerned, go to opensecrets.org and find out where they get their money from. Then you can find out who they owe if they get elected. And as you said earlier, Kucinich votes. He shows up for work. Face it, Mike writes, this nation has a cancer, and like a cancer, you have to remove it all or it will keep coming back. If Bush is beat, it matters not who gets in if the Democrats don't gain control of either the House or Senate. It is imperative that we have people in all offices who are willing to investigate the current administration and expose them for what they are. If we don't expose them, then like a malignant tumor, they will return, bigger and more destructive, and the only thing the country will be doing in the next few years will be living on life support. Kucinich is the only person, Mike writes, who can slap this baby on its collective ass and wake it up. Look at his website. Is anyone else talking about protecting us from water privatization? No, but he is. It shows he's ahead of the curve and not just tied to hot issues. He's also concerned about problems before they get too big to tackle. Don't we need someone with some foresight? Don't we need Kucinich? Mike, in Orlando. Yeah, well, you get no argument from me, buddy. I took my stand early on in this primary season, and there's some intriguing arguments for Dean, for Clark, for Kerry. But I will stick with Dennis Kucinich until such time as my sticking with him is no longer matters. Will is calling from Atlanta. Hey, Will.
Hey, Mike. I admire your principled support for Dennis Kucinich. Have you seen Angels in America yet, by any chance?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason the Democratic candidates go against each other is because they are Republican light. We do need a departure from the Republican-Republicrat dichotomy and engaging in more polemics. We need to recognize that the core of that play, that HBO movie, is true, that Roy Cohn was one of the center pillars of the Republican Party and still is today.
Mm-hmm.
This false, macho, closet homosexual, which shows up in Richard Nixon's energy. I don't know if you ever saw that camera that was running when he was walking through some backstage areas at one of his debates in 72 and caught him unawares. He didn't realize he was being taped, and he came across like a Madison Avenue advertising guy. I mean, just completely like he was doing something on the La Cage aux Folles.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
These guys, they're assassins. They're trying to prove something that is false. And I question that. I mean, Mazel Tov on the news, the great news for you, I question whether people who haven't found a cosmic success in their own life as men, speaking of Nader and Kucinich, is a match for these twisted sisters like Bush and this whole Republican Nazi. I mean, the Nazis were of the same stripe. They're false men. They're murderers trying to seeking the esteem of other men as opposed to some higher spirit or twinning with a woman. I mean, it's a false spirit on the land, and that's why all these crimes are being committed. I mean, I'm absolutely convinced that 9/11 was a Reichstag fire.
I think you're right. Hold on a second. I'll come back and give you another minute or two. Will, we got a break here.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
book describes coming home to a chilly western valley that's frozen in time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Winter temperatures in Idaho's Sawtooth Valley can hit 60 below, but the landscape is frozen in another way. Parts of it look as if nothing has changed for decades. The U.S. Forest Service maintains the Sawtooth Valley as a national recreation area, having bought scenic easements on many ranches. The idea was to keep the valley from developing with the trophy homes and subdivisions that are sweeping the west. John Rember grew up in the Sawtooth Valley, and he's written a new book called Traplines. In 1987, Rember moved back to his family's land out of what he calls a homing instinct. The area looked much the same as when he went off to college in the 1960s, but he says that was an illusion.
So if you go into the valley now, it will look very much like it did in the late 60s and even the late 50s. But it's an artificial reality created by the government deciding that it was worthwhile to create what's essentially a Western museum.
Rember says the valley's modest ranches are now museum pieces, but he says it looks authentic to summer travelers, some of whom decide the valley would be an ideal place to live.
You have a lot of people trying to figure out ways to live there, and I guess the winters are our great immune system. It gets cold and dark, and the sun doesn't get very high above the Sawtooth to the west. It's a valley that's hemmed in by mountains, so in the winter, there's a lot of shadows.
Still, Rember says wealthy people have bought many of the ranches, putting up big log homes to use as summer retreats, but he says he still feels connected to the land he grew up on.
I feel very lucky, and as I point out in the book, there are worse lives than those lived in museums.
That's John Rember, author of Traplines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the
need
is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties all of a sudden. So until we get it repaired, we're going to play a rebroadcast of one of my better programs. So stick around, stay with me. We'll have this fixed momentarily.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk, yes. We have, I've said this a couple of times. We have a lot of ground to cover here. Senator, more comments from Senator Byrd. And then we have a series of comments from Dennis Kucinich that I want to get to in a second. But let's just move on to some phone calls here. Elizabeth is calling from Norwalk, Ohio. Elizabeth, about time you called in.
I know, Mike, and I get so nervous. But yesterday was my big 7-0. So after I listened to the first part of your messages, I called Senator DeWine's office, Senator Voinovich's office, the White House.
Uh-huh.
Byrd, first I started with him. That's my birthday present to me. Gephardt's office is not answering. It just rings and rings and rings. So
really?
I'm trying to get the message out to stop the insanity. But I have an article here from a weekly Irish American newspaper, and it's the Irish Echo. And this is written by Patrick Farrelly. And his article talks about Bernadette Devlin McCloskey,
mm-hmm.
how she compared New York City, the coming to JFK Airport and flying into Belfast Airport, and the fact that up at JFK there is a framed copy of the Bill of Rights, And in Belfast was a copy of the Prevention of Terrorism Act. And she said, it's unbelievable that regardless of its shortcomings, at Kennedy, you knew you were in a country that had a constitution and a Bill of Rights, guaranteed individual rights that were inalienable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's still there, but with what's going on, they should put suspended or deleted over that sign at Kennedy.
And Bernadette Devlin should know, having been a spokeswoman years ago, back in the 60s for the IRA.
Right. And this article compares these years of what was going on over there, mm-hmm. in Northern Ireland, with what's going on now. And they said that, and this Patrick Farrelly said, and he evidently lives in New York, because he said, the next time you have a Pakistani cab driver in New York, ask him how many of his coworkers have disappeared in the last year. That's one point. There's other points, but the last thing I want to get to. In the British case, it took 20 years and thousands of deaths and injuries for them to realize that political situations demand political solutions.
Mm-hmm.
The British seem to have little realization that their policies towards the Irish were producing a murderous rage in even the most law-abiding people. And the comparison, the fact that it was a wasted effort over there, didn't achieve anything. And what's going to happen here? This is what's going on in Washington, I think, is under the category of insanity.
I certainly don't disagree with you, Elizabeth. I'm stunned every single day. I get tongue-tied here. I can't talk. I'm stunned every day to realize what has happened in this republic, what has happened to the Constitution, and it just continues. I'm glad you called in. I hope you don't be a stranger so much. Call in.
Well, we've been busy, you know, with hospital and all, but anyway, keep up the good work, Mike, and keep us courageous, too, because it's so difficult working or living in this wilderness of conservatism.
Up there in north central Ohio.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Stay well.
All right. You too. I appreciate your call. Appreciate your call very much. Robert Byrd again on the Donahue interview last night on his fears. They're not fears, Senator. It's reality. But his fears about the fact that Bush is making the war a campaign issue.
What I'm afraid of is that we're going to be rushed into making a decision here, which would be tainted by the supercharged atmosphere of politics. That is wrong. We're going to have to answer for this vote in the years to come. And I want to be able to look into that mirror when I leave this Senate and believe that I voted first, last, and always for the Constitution, the institution of the Senate, and the American people, what's in their best interest.
Well, Senator, that just sounds so anachronistic now, because so many of your colleagues are not voting in the interest of the American people and the Constitution of the United States. They are doing, in fact, what you are afraid of, what we all have been afraid of for the past several months. Forget the Republican Party. The American Fascist Party is committed to the Bush crime family. But the Democratic leadership. Oh, never mind. Now, Byrd again on Donahue last night. On the cost of the war, there is a cost to war, not just in blood, not just in arms being blown off and legs being shattered and guts being spilled someplace and heads being blown to pieces and women and children and men being blown into chunks up against a wall someplace. There is also a monetary cost. Are you ready to pay it?
Mr. Lawrence Lindsay said a few days ago, in answer to a question, as reported in the newspapers, that this war would probably cost somewhere between 100 billion and 200 billion. Somewhere between 100 and 200 billion. But he said, that's nothing. That's nothing. Now, I can't comprehend this kind of mentality. The President of the United States has dug in his heels against $9 billion being spent in the appropriation bills for Homeland Security and for veterans and for the good of the people, the safety of the people of this country. He has stuck his feet in concrete and will not move. He says to the people out there, when he has all these backdrops of Marines, and I'd like to have those backdrops too, but he says, Congress ought to pass my bill on Homeland Security.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Guess what? All the problems are fixed. Let's get back to live programming on The Mike Malloy Show. Yeah, here we are again, 20 minutes before the hour. Sorry about that. It's just the way it goes when you're doing shoestring radio, I guess. Thanks to our engineer in Detroit, John, who got it fixed. Thank you, John. All right, from Atlanta. Who was it? We were talking with Will in Atlanta, and Will is back with us. Will, sorry about all that. Thanks for calling back in. Where were we?
Well, you said you'd give me a minute or two, and I appreciate your generosity. I called Laura Ingraham driving in down the highway today just for laughs on a low-watt station here in Atlanta.
Yeah, that station that decided not to take our program because we're too liberal.
Well, the thing about it is the screener asked me what I want to talk about. She was talking about this Hitler-Bush comparison.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a student of history. I've read about his grandfather, and I'm satisfied that what's going on, particularly with the Paul O'Neill revelation Sunday night,
right.
He is, in fact, modeled after Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the same stuff Hitler did with the 9/11 Reichstag fire.
Right.
And the guy put me on hold and making like he was going to actually let a discussion take place. And, of course, I hung down. Then I called back and just hung down, called back, hung down. So it's totally not legitimate. But what the Democrats have to do, and I will, so far, I'm going to vote for Howard Dean, sort of holding my nose. There are a couple of things I don't like about him. One of the things I do like about him is he seems to have a wife and a couple of kids that are leading a relatively normal family,
mm-hmm.
which is somewhat of an accomplishment for a man any time in history and now, just like any other time. I mean, it's a challenge to raise a family.
Yeah, it is.
And I think more than being a sports star or an ambitious fake politician, it's quite an accomplishment in life, if not the greatest accomplishment. The same for a woman on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard Dean seems to have done that. But I don't mind that he dodged Vietnam. What I do mind is that a man with wealth and some political and humanity becoming a doctor, just same as John Kerry, who was a vet, these people did not spend the following time, the 30 years or 40 years since,
mm-hmm.
bringing to justice the criminals who did that to us, particularly when they are knowable.
Yeah.
These are not boogeymen. These are the same people that are running Bush now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same institutions and families that killed Kennedy, sent us to Vietnam, gave us 9/11. We're in Afghanistan serving their interests. It's the same people. They're knowable. Howard Dean knows them. And so many of the Democrats are just playing their game, trying to be Bush light
mm-hmm.
in order to ambitiously find fame or glory or a bigger piece of the non-monolithic Antichrist, really. And Kucinich seems to be somewhat different from that. But I think we need a new party, just like the old Whigs. The Tories became clear that they were conspiring to enslave the working people, the 80% yeoman artisanry,
mm-hmm.
and the Whigs on their behalf, led by Jefferson. And I think we can have the model of King, Dr. King, as well as Jefferson, twinned. They said, look, you know, we don't like what you're doing. We got a single purpose to have a free country, individual sovereignty, no more of this corporatism, no more of this popery of monarchy, popery of government monarchy, what Tom Paine said. And you're going to either shut up, you're giving up your money, you're getting out of town, or we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
And that's, polemically, that's what we have to do. These people are criminals. They are fascist traitors. And there's no equivocating about it. I mean, I'm happy. I talked to Noam Chomsky on C-SPAN. It's incontrovertible that this is a false elite that is engaged in criminal conduct against people of the United States who are the sovereigns of this nation.
Yeah, that's it. Will, I hear you loud and clear. I agree with what you're saying, and you, as usual, say it well. Thanks, Will.
Mike.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. Sorry about the 10 or 12-minute delay there in the program. The situation has been cleared up now. So if what did I get, about 45 emails? Hey, where are you? Well, got an email here from David about John Edwards, whom we never mentioned on this program. David said, Edwards is quick on his feet, did a great job with Chris Matthews. He refused to let Matthews put words in his mouth, and Matthews finally gave up and started throwing softballs about favorite movies, books, and songs. I'd have to consider him if Dennis drops out. Edwards has beaten these corporate lawyers in court. He did respond to the Pickering appointment today quickly. And then David includes Edwards' statement. regarding the criminal's recess appointment of Judge Charles Pickering today. John Edwards said, quote, "I questioned Judge Pickering at his hearing. I reviewed his record, and I know Charles Pickering does not belong on the U.S. Court of Appeals. This is a judge who regularly put his personal views above the law in civil rights cases, a judge who violated judicial ethics in order to secure a lower sentence for someone who burned a cross on the lawn of an interracial couple. Coming just before Martin Luther King Day, Bush's appointment of Judge Pickering is an insult to everyone or anyone who believes in equal justice and a stark reminder why we need a new president committed to appointing judges who enforce our civil rights laws." Not to take anything away from Edwards at all or his statement, but I think anybody with a conscience in this country saw the obviousness of, Bush comes down here to Atlanta and goes through his little photo op, phony ass, putting a wreath at the tomb of Martin Luther King. I'm surprised King's bony hand didn't come up out of the marble and just grab him around the throat. But he comes down here and does that as a little side venture to his $3 million fundraising trip here in New Orleans. And then he goes back to Washington, D.C. and appoints a full-blown Confederate flag-waving, Negro-hating racist to be a federal appeals court judge. And the Republican Party wonders why African Americans look at these scum suckers with the way they do and say, "Are you people crazy? You want my vote? You want my vote? You see this brown skin? You want my vote when you put these white devils into these positions of power to discriminate against me because I have this brown skin and this nappy hair? Are you crazy?" I mean, that's what I'd be saying if I were black. And like I've said many times in this program, I am only predominantly white. Oh, my God. It just never stops, does it? Never stops. Brian is calling from Manchester, New Hampshire. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I wanted to talk first about that. I heard your the alleged tirade just before the 10:30 break. I would say Mike Malloy for Congress, whatever district you're in Georgia there.
No, Mike Malloy just wants to make sure he gets a job after February 27th. Okay.
Well, I think you're like a Kucinich. You're definitely the real deal. You're a great arguer, and we need that. But I wanted to say the primaries up here in New Hampshire, I'm going to vote Kucinich, and I try to take them seriously, but we don't even have a verifiable paper trails for a voting machine. It's hard to, and the Democrats are not fighting to get that by 2004. And when this Diebold company, run by that traitor Walden Odell of Diebold, wants to deliver Ohio to and every place else to G.W. Bush.
Yeah, he's also a religious fanatic too. You understand that? He wants to kill gay people.
He's a pioneer, right?
He's a Bush pioneer, but he wants to kill the gay people. Okay. He wants to isolate minorities. He wants to make Fortress America. These are sick people.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Gay is in the same tradition as Prescott Bush and his banking with the Nazis and that. But I wanted to say about that. Here are the primaries here. Like on one of the main areas in Manchester is Elm Street in the downtown Manchester area for the New Hampshire primary. There are a lot of young Republican college age guys, all pro Iraq, pro Bush, pro war. And yet,
give them a gun.
Yeah, why aren't they?
Arm them. Give them a rifle.
Down at the. Yeah. They're not. They haven't gone to the recruiting office. They haven't gone anywhere near there. But yet, I'm 45-year-old ex-Marine, and I see 55-year-old guys dying over there in Iraq that are supposed to be reservists and National Guardsmen by law should be protecting our borders from Al Qaeda, not Baghdad. And they don't have a comeback for that except, just a wiseacre answer. But at the same time.
Hey, Brian, hold the thought. I got to take a break. Hold the thought. We'll come back to you. Hopefully we don't have another accident during this break. We'll come right back, Brian. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
We got. the rings.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have an expense account. What's the problem?
But I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to them on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside.
Punk. Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man? Huh?
Who are you then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we are talking with Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire. Now, Brian is a 45-year-old ex-Marine.
Yes.
Former Marine. There's no such thing as an ex-Marine.
I know there's no such thing.
Former Marine.
I'm always want to be in Baghdad right now, but there's so much of this so-called war against terrorism or whatever they're for WMDs that's just so evilly wrong.
Right.
I just can't. My heart is torn about it. Yeah, what I was going to say, Mike, was these are young college-age guys, athletic. They're all very much pro-war. But I would say to all the young Americans out there the age 20 to 30 or whatever it is, that they're all like 65% in favorable rating for President Bush. Mm-hmm. This guy is going to draft your young, able-bodied, into the next wars in North Korea, in Venezuela, in Syria, Iran, Brazil, Indonesia, and the Philippines. These are the real island archipelagos where you really have to flush out
That will give these young, sturdy Republicans a chance to go prove their manhood, right?
Why can't we just draft Republicans? Though I have a number of nieces and nephews. They're all coming right to be at draft age. They're all, I would say, basically liberal, pacifically minded, and evolved in their daily lives. They would really defend their country if their borders were really threatened, if it was a real enemy, Al Qaeda or something like that. But I just don't want to see them get drafted. Tom Hartman brought this up a couple of weeks ago, that he's saying that we should talk about it, and maybe we should bring out the draft now. It sounded too real politic for me, to coming from Tom, such a good man and all that. But I realize his point, that is coming, especially if we have another phony election and this guy gets in again.
Mm-hmm.
That our young people are going to go. And I would just say there's just too much conformity or something amongst our young people that they have to question authority much more than they have to follow the Teddy Roosevelt advice, to paraphrase. The only good citizens are the ones that always question their so-called
leaders.
That's
true. Well, I agree with you up to a point. I think children who have been raised right, in other words, children who have been raised into young adults or teenagers by conscience-minded liberal Democrats, are not, those young people are not sick and perverted already.
No.
The only ones who are twisted are these children who grew up with Republican parents, who have put all these false values into their minds, who have distorted their children's worldview, and who have poisoned their own offspring. Hey, listen, Brian, we got a boogie.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
you, sir.
Checking in. You have a nice evening. Quick break, folks. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie, because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson on the New Hampshire campaign trail. The national leaders of six conservative organizations yesterday broke with the Republican majorities in the House and Senate, accusing them of spending like drunken sailors, and had some strong words for Bush as well. The Republican Congress is spending at twice the rate as under Bill Clinton, and Bush has yet to sign a single veto, Paul W. Weyrich, national chairman of Coalitions for America, said at a news briefing with the five other leaders. Warning of adverse consequences in the November elections, the leaders said the Senate must reject the latest House-passed omnibus spending bill, or Mr. Bush should veto the measure. The whole purpose of having a Republican president is to lead the Republican Congress, said Paul Beckner, president of Citizens for a Sound Economy. If the president doesn't take a stand on this, there's a real chance the Republicans' voter base will not be enthusiastic about turning out in November, no matter who the Democrats nominate. Howard Dean received significantly more criticism on network newscasts than the other Democratic presidential contenders who were the subjects of more favorable coverage, according to a study released Thursday. More than three-quarters of the coverage of Dean's foes by the nightly news programs was favorable, while a majority of attention to Dean was negative, the Center for Media and Public Affairs found. A study by the Washington-based media watchdog also found the network attention to the campaign was down by 62%. Compared to the last race involving an incumbent president in 1996. Saddam Hussein warned his Fedayeen militia against throwing in their lot with the Islamic militants flocking to Iraq to fight U.S. forces, according to a document found with the deposed dictator when he was captured. The ousted leader told Iraqi militants that Muslim extremists had a different agenda to the Ba'ath Party when they wanted to launch a religious war and establish an Islamic state in Iraq. In contrast, the aims of Saddam's supporters were limited to the expulsion of U.S.-led coalition invaders and a return to secular power in Baghdad. Following the end of the main military campaign last year, it had been feared thousands of foreign fighters would flood Iraq, seeking an Islamic jihad similar to the way in which Arabs rushed to Afghanistan in the 1980s to resist the Soviet occupation. The document, which officials say is genuine, also throws more doubt on earlier claims by Washington and London that Saddam had links with al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. More after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's one in six people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit upheld disability payments to a Hawaiian man hurt in a barroom incident involving U.S. soldiers on Johnston Atoll. The court granted disability benefits to Michael Ilizaxet, who required hip surgery after crashing to the floor of a social club on the atoll after he bet soldiers $100 that one of them could not high kick over his head without touching him. This is Michael Stinson on the New Hampshire campaign trail.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Murder is not anything I could ever commit, but there are a few individuals whose obituaries I could read without feeling terribly sad. I must admit, however, that one thing does induce murderous thoughts in my otherwise gentle head. Car alarms. Like a demon screeching from the deepest reaches of hell, these satanic devices whoop, beep, razz, whine, and irritate in the most intrusive way, shattering the civility of entire neighborhoods and jangling even the calmest of souls. They seem programmed specifically to go off in the wee hours of morning, rudely awakening families for blocks around in an act of urban harassment. Car alarms are sold in the name of theft protection, but that's a joke. An independent survey of 73 million insurance claims for robbery of vehicles reveals that cars with alarms, quote, show no overall reduction in theft losses. Why? Two reasons. First, nearly all of the whooping is due to false alarms caused by a passing motorcycle, a thump by a cat, or simply because the damn thing decides on its own to interrupt our peace and tranquility. They go off so often that most of us always assume it's a false alarm. An insurance company found that fewer than 1% of people would call the cops because of a blaring car alarm. Second, it's rare to hear an alarm when the car is actually being stolen because real thieves can easily deactivate the devices in only seconds. As one expert puts it, car alarms work about as well as fuzzy dice at deterring theft. Far from stopping crime, they often cause it, as irate neighbors go out in their jammies to puncture tires, sledgehammer hoods, and even shoot the offending vehicles. Plus, all of this is unnecessary, since there are engine immobilizers that can prevent nearly all auto thievery. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help kill screeching car alarms, call Transportation Alternatives, 212-629-8080.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Tom in Sterling, Illinois, wanted me to remind everybody of something. He writes in, you need to remind registered Democrats that they need to confirm that they haven't been purged from the voter rolls, especially minorities in Florida, well in advance of the deadline for registration for the November election. Yeah, that's what we've come to, right? Good idea. If you're a registered Democrat, make sure, you know, what does it take? Just call your Board of Elections, I guess. That's all it takes here in Georgia. I don't know what it takes in Florida or other states. Call your Board of Elections. Make sure that you are still listed as a registered voter. Dear God. Ah. By the way, you may or may not know, George Bush has some opposition on the in the New Hampshire primary. It's journalist John Buchanan. He's a Republican. He's the one that first came up with widespread. This information about the Bush-Nazi connection has been out there for decades, but it was John Buchanan who got it out in front of the public. He will be joining us Monday in our second hour. He is running against Bush in the New Hampshire primary.
Who?
I know you folks knew about that. Okay. Bill is calling from Collegeville, PA. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I haven't talked to you since last June when I first got my Sirius, but I've been addicted ever since.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Listen, I wanted to talk about the election.
Okay.
Which, the primary, you know, it's ugly and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner Gephardt gets knocked out and Lieberman gets knocked out, I don't think it'll be as bad. But originally was for Kerry, because I just always thought he was, like, the most intelligent and the most, you know, statesmanlike.
Right.
But he does have some baggage, you know. And then I went for Dr. Dean because he showed the anger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's what turned a lot of people on instantly, because there are a lot of angry people out here.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they're going to tear him apart, too. Now, I like everything that Dennis Kucinich has to say, but let's face it, you know, the $250 million that Bush is going to raise, you know, it's like McGovern, Mondale, and Dukakis all rolled into one. They will chew him up and spit him out.
Yeah.
So this election is so important. It has to be won. This is our last shot. As far as fascism is here. We have to stop it. It's our last chance. And I'm thinking Wesley Clark and John Edwards. Now, I never gave Edwards a thought until I watched him in the Iowa.
Right.
And the guy works the crowd like is better than Bill Clinton.
Huh.
He was amazing. And then he did a half-hour interview on Iowa Public Radio. They did a TV show.
Right.
The guy is amazing. I think if he was on the second spot with Clark, both of them down south, Clark a four-star general against the draft-dodging, deserting, monkey-faced moron, and coupled with John Edwards.
Right.
Down south with the good old boys. Well, you know how it is. I think that's a winning combination. It's okay to be idealistic, you know, and Dennis Kucinich, I believe everything he says. I'm all for it, but I don't think he can win.
Yeah.
This election is too important. And the sooner Gephardt and Lieberman get knocked out, the better it'll be, because there won't be as much of that infighting.
Well, I think all that's going to happen fairly quickly. Certainly not in February. When is so-called Super Tuesdays?
I think that's
March.
February 3rd.
Oh, it is? Mm-hmm. That early?
Yes.
Well, then we'll have our decision fairly soon. Hey, Bill, good to hear from you again. I hope you call in. Don't be a stranger. Don't wait 6 months to call.
Okay.
All right. Thank
Next
you, sir.
Next week.
All righty.
Bye.
Appreciate your call. This is kind of segues from what Bill was saying. Paul Krugman's column today. Let me just quote a little bit of it. Earlier this week, Wesley Clark had some strong words about the state of the nation. He said, quote, "I think we're at risk with our democracy. I think we're dealing with the most closed, imperialistic, nastiest administration in living memory. They even put Richard Nixon to shame," end quote. In other words, Krugman writes, the general gets it. He understands that America is facing what Kevin Phillips, in his remarkable new book, American Dynasty, calls a Machiavellian moment. Among other things, this tells us that General Clark and Howard Dean, whatever they may say in the heat of the nomination fight, are on the same side of the great Democratic divide. What makes Mr. Dean seem radical isn't his aren't his policy positions, but his willingness, shared, we now know, by General Clark, to take a hard line against the Bush administration. This horrifies some veterans of the Clinton years who have nostalgic memories of elections that were won by emphasizing the positive. Indeed, George Bush's handlers have already made it clear that they intend to make his optimism, Bush's so-called optimism, as opposed to the negativism of his angry opponents, a campaign theme. But even Bill Clinton couldn't run a successful Clinton-style campaign this year for several reasons. One is that the Democratic candidate, no matter how business-friendly, will not be able to get lots of corporate contributions, as Clinton did. In the Clinton era, a Democrat could still raise a lot of money from business, partly because there really are liberal businessmen, partly because donors wanted to hedge their bets. But these days, the Republicans control all three branches of government and exercise that control ruthlessly. Even corporate types who have grave misgivings about the Bush administration are afraid to give money to Democrats. Another reason, Krugman writes, is that the Bush people really are Nixonian. The bogus security investigation over Ron Suskin's The Price of Loyalty, like the outing of Valerie Plame, shows the lengths they're willing to go in intimidating their critics. A mild-mannered, upbeat candidate against them would get eaten alive. Finally, Krugman writes, any Democrat has to expect not just severely slanted coverage from the fair and balanced Republican media, but asymmetric treatment even from the mainstream media. For example, some have said that the intense scrutiny of Mr. Dean's Vermont record is what every governor who runs for president faces. No, it isn't. I've looked at press coverage of questions surrounding Mr. Bush's tenure in Austin, like the investment of state university funds with Republican donors, and on and on and on. He got a free pass during the 2000 campaign. So what's the answer? A Democratic candidate will have a chance of winning only if he has an energized base, willing to contribute money and many small donations, willing to contribute their own time, willing to stand up for the candidate in the face of smear tactics and unfair coverage. Well, that's right. That's right. Paul Krugman, who writes it the way it is, Paul Krugman and Bob Herbert, both of them of the New York Times, unafraid to take on these thuggish neo-Nazis in the Bush administration. And I agree with what Krugman said. Both Dean and Wesley Clark, they don't mince words. Now, neither does Dennis Kucinich. But even Kucinich has, Kucinich has taken the high road. As far as I can tell, he's laid out plans. He's got ideas. He wants to be a leader. He can lead this country out of the morass, out of the swamp, out of the slime that the Bush crime families put us in. But you know the one thing that I support Dennis and I will. But the one thing that's missing from his campaign, at least I haven't seen it, is an attack dog mentality. I've got it on this program. There are other people on this network who are Democrats, who are liberals, who do not have the attack dog mentality like I have, who are willing to go to the mat and call these sons of bitches sons of bitches. I will do it. So will Howard Dean. So will Wesley Clark. Now, you pay your money, makes your choice. Dennis Kucinich, whom I support, is not going to attack. His rhetorical, we've got some of the speeches Kucinich has made that we've played on this program are astonishing in their brilliance, their intensity, their emotion. But Dennis Kucinich will not take out the paring knife and go for a vein. Howard Dean, Wesley Clark have demonstrated that they will. Am I wrong on that? I don't think so. And I think that's what Krugman is saying. I honestly believe that Krugman is a liberal progressive. I do not believe that Krugman has some nasty-ass hidden agenda. I know he got some Enron money, but that was when everybody was getting Enron money. And based on his writings, I think Krugman is the real deal. And in his heart, Krugman may be a Kucinich Democrat, like a lot of us are. But I think Krugman understands that in order to fight these vicious, vicious thugs who now run this country and run the Republican Party, these vicious thugs who run media, who run the Congress, you can't be an idealist. You've got to be a street fighter. And I think that's one of the things one of the reasons that Howard Dean has appealed so early on, and Wesley Clark is now becoming appealing on the same basis. And it's this absolute refusal. And I can understand this. Somebody screws around with me, somebody gets in my face, they're going to get in their face right back. Somebody wants to bring a knife, bring a knife. I'll bring a gun. Somebody wants to bring a gun, I'll bring a fighter jet. You bring a fighter jet, I'll bring a nuclear weapon. So I understand that mentality. Now, will that shave 10 or 15 years off my life, or off Howard Dean's life, or off Wesley Clark's life? Probably. Because that kind of rage is not sustaining. But I understand that on a visceral level. I hate these people. I will do anything I can to get that attitude of absolute contempt, disgust, and hatred out every single minute that I'm on a radio program. I don't care where it is. These people who have taken over our country are thugs, they're fascists, and they need to be run out of town. And if Howard Dean or Wesley Clark can articulate that kind of rage, bless them. I don't know about Dennis. I have not seen rage in Dennis Kucinich. I have seen a much mellower human being. And I wish we lived there. I do. And Dennis, I swear to God, I wish I could live in that world, and I will support you. I will until I can't support you anymore. But that's not where we live. It really isn't. We live in hell until we finally turn these demons out and can get our country back. See the mistakes of each generation, they'll just say like radio station.
Then you're just stupid, you don't care. How else can you react? We know something. good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Jeremy is calling from State College, PA. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
You are.
Yeah, more about Kucinich. I have a couple things I wanted to say.
Okay.
First of all, if the guy is good enough to get elected mayor of Cleveland and be the youngest man ever to be elected to a major city as a mayoral person, and he's good enough to get elected to the House, I don't see why he's not good enough to get nominated farther. And I also think that he doesn't attack because what good would it do him? He gets one more 30-second soundbite on CNN or Fox. And I just think that by him not being covered by the mainstream media, you know, Fox can easily attack Dean or Clark and make them look bad because it's the hardcore liberals, we're not sold on them yet.
Mm-hmm.
We are sold on Kucinich, and they have a much harder time tearing him down.
Mm-hmm.
And the one last thing I'll say is I'm a lot younger. I mean, I'm only 28, but people my age and younger, the people that would be most inclined to vote for a guy like Kucinich just don't vote in general.
I know.
Because they have this feeling that all politics are corrupt, and why bother? What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
And I try to tell them, well, the point, and the thing is, this comment isn't meant for anybody who listens to your show, because obviously people who listen to you are willing to dig a little deeper for their information, which is what you have to do in today's age of media that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But people that are apathetic, I tell them, you need to find the candidate that doesn't support those principles. And guys like Paul Wellstone and Dennis Kucinich do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah.
And like, you know, what I did with my brother, I mean, here's how I handle the situation now. My brother is very anti-establishment, but he doesn't care. All politics are corrupt, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's a really big Pearl Jam fan, as am I.
Mm-hmm.
And their concert in Madison Square Garden is on DVD. Their bass player, Jeff Ament, had a Paul Wellstone sticker on his bass.
Wow.
And he's like, what does that Wellstone sticker mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, let me tell you. I gave him a copy of his book, Conscience of a Liberal.
Good for you.
And I'm like, see, here's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to get involved, and that's why I'd be all for more of a caucus situation or a runoff voting situation, because that would give people that have the Seabiscuit, you know, aspect to
right.
the race, like Nader or whoever, a fairer shake. I mean, mm-hmm. I live in Pennsylvania, and I'm torn. Well, do I throw my primary vote away? I mean, I'm still going to vote for Kucinich in the primary regardless, but it's like, well, maybe I should have given it to Clark because I think he'd be a little better than Dean, or you go through all that, where if you go to the caucus, you're like, okay, I can stand here and say I'm for Kucinich, and maybe everybody else will too.
Right.
If they don't, then I can move to my next choice, and you can go through that. But
which is almost like proportional voting.
Sure. And, I mean, I think any of that would be great, because people will still give me grief here. Well, you voted for Nader. You gave Bush the White House. I'm like, no, I didn't. Gore won Pennsylvania.
Right.
I think it's just it boils down to young people and apathy, and a lot of it, too, I think, is just the very, very bland education mm-hmm. we give our kids.
Well, yeah, that's true. We don't educate our children to be politically aware, but the dumbing down of the young people in this country politically, this was a deliberate tactic that goes back to Lee Atwater, is carried through all the Reagan years, the Pappy Bush years, and of course into the Republican control of the Congress, and now into the Bush years. They don't want young. What they want young people to do is pick up a gun and go fight or die or smoke cigarettes. They do not want young people, they being the Republicans, they do not want young people to become politically active or politically aware. These are people, the ones who are in control now, were of the same age as the hippies and the people who were changing, attempting to change society back in the 60s. Karl Rove, Cheney, all these people, they remember the 60s, and they cannot relate to the 60s, and they want to make sure that the 60s never happen again. So the process that they have used is to make the political system seem so corrupt from the outside. The 8-year-long attack on Bill Clinton is a classic example. And they have damn well succeeded, because, as you point out, so many young people are just turned off by it. They say the whole thing sucks, the whole thing is corrupt. And to a certain degree, those young people are right, but it's up to them to change it. Us old people are not going to change it. It's up to young people to change. It's always up to young people.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And that's the thing. I mean, I was in high school during the first Gulf War,
mm-hmm.
and my education was horrible. And pretty much when the war was happening, if you thought anything against it, whether, you know, the teachers or whoever,
right.
you were just, what's wrong with you?
That's right. Jeremy, got a boogie.
Hey, no problem.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call. Check in with us again, buddy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new book describes coming home to a chilly Western Valley that's frozen in time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Winter temperatures in Idaho's Sawtooth Valley can hit 60 below, but the landscape is frozen in another way. Parts of it look as if nothing has changed for decades. The U.S. Forest Service maintains the Sawtooth Valley as a national recreation area, having bought scenic easements on many ranches. The idea was to keep the valley from developing with the trophy homes and subdivisions that are sweeping the west. John Rember grew up in the Sawtooth Valley, and he's written a new book called Trap Lines. In 1987, Rember moved back to his family's land out of what he calls a homing instinct. The area looked much the same as when he went off to college in the 1960s, but he says that was an illusion.
So if you go into the valley now, it will look very much like it did in the late 60s and even the late 50s. But it's an artificial reality created by the government deciding that it was worthwhile to create what's essentially a Western museum.
Rember says the valley's modest ranches are now museum pieces, but he says it looks authentic to summer travelers, some of whom decide the valley would be an ideal place to live.
You have a lot of people trying to figure out ways to live there, and I guess the winters are our great immune system. It gets cold and dark, and the sun doesn't get very high above the Sawtooths to the west. It's a valley that's hemmed in by mountains, so in the winter, there's a lot of shadows.
Still, Rember says wealthy people have bought many of the ranches, putting up big log homes to use as summer retreats, but he says he still feels connected to the land he grew up on.
I feel very lucky, and as I point out in the book, there are worse lives than those lived in museums.
That's John Rember, author of Trap Lines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Boy, time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? Marge is calling from Merrillville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hey there. I want you to know, Michael, that your technical problem's my fault.
Oh, what did you do?
Well, I was driving home from the store this afternoon.
Yeah.
And turned in. I was going to get me a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And my car just died. Nothing.
Well, I'm missing the connection here, Marge.
Well, I'm having an adverse effect on things mechanical. Today.
I see, and you were on hold when that happened.
Well, anyway.
Okay, well, it's your fault then.
It's my fault.
I gotcha.
And I hate to give the old fart credit, but he's the one I heard say it the first time. The Democrats have got to remember the 11th commandment.
That's right.
Thou shalt not say anything ill against a fellow Democrat.
Doesn't
I'm paraphrasing.
Reagan said that, obviously, about Republicans. Doesn't it just tear you up to see the Democrats attacking each other?
It makes me crazy.
I mean, it's just disgusting. Is it that important for any one of them to claw and scratch and bite their way to the top of the heap that they have to do it on the on the backs and fronts and foreheads of other Democrats. It's just disgusting.
It makes no sense because, I mean, you know that Karl Rove is sitting back and just rubbing his hands together, waiting for his chance.
Just loving
whoever
it.
Whoever ends up on top.
Just loving it.
The second thing, you know, I think it's 2239, is sitting in committee now.
And which, what bill is
That's
that?
That's the one with the voting, what's it called?
Instant runoff? No?
The one that verifies the paper trail on the voting.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of the actual name, but I wrote my congressman, Pete Zaslavsky, and told him to vote for it. And he sent me a nice reply back, that, you know, thanking me for my my interest, and that unfortunately it's sitting in committee now, administrative something or other.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, I don't know how we get it out of there. I don't know who's head of that committee.
Well, probably as long as the Republicans are in control, it'll never come out.
And yeah, well.
Never.
What else is new?
Right.
There, you know, talking about books, there's one called Lies, Damn Lies, and Statistics, written by somebody named Wheeler. The subtitle is The Manipulation of Public Opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
Yeah, that's a quote from Mark Twain, I think. There are lies, damn lies, and statistics. I think Mark Twain originally said that.
Yeah, well, there's a book by that name, too.
Yeah, okay.
And the other night on Charlie Rose, the inimitable Mr. Richard Pearl said, and I quote, "Democracies don't start wars." And I thought, you miserable. It's a good thing I was home alone because what I said was not very ladylike.
Well, I can imagine. Richard Pearl, just every time I see him, literally.
You want to throw up?
Well, it makes my skin crawl. I mean, this guy could have been a commandant in a death camp somewhere. Now, I understand he's Jewish, but I don't care. This guy has the look of somebody who could turn on the gas jets or fire up the furnaces without a second thought.
Yeah.
He's a real demonic killer type.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that instead of killing Jews, he would kill
anybody
else. Arabs, Muslims, Iraqis, anybody. And I mean, the guy sends bad feelings through me the same way Adolf Hitler, the same way Joe Stalin, the same way Pol Pot, all of these people. Every time I look at Pearl, I just go, oh, my God, this guy is a potential, or not a potential, but a realized mass killer. But he'll never be held responsible, just like Henry Kissinger. They'll never be held responsible for it.
And now, if I may... Briefly, it was in today's Chicago Tribune in the op-ed page, a letter. I'm amused by the space exploration program proposed by the Bush administration. This new space program will not be like the one started by John F. Kennedy in the 60s. Back then, hundreds of thousands of jobs were created by NASA, contracts in all the spin-off industries.
Mm-hmm.
Based on this administration's track record, the American economy will see very little benefit in jobs. Why? Because the large amount of required engineering work will most likely be farmed out to Russia. The new electronic and computer hardware will be manufactured in China, and the software development for those projects will probably be outsourced to India. And it will be lucky American taxpayers without corporate tax credits who will pay all the bills. One note of optimism for the taxpayers. The day will come when you will see Taco Bell and Nike logos on the sides of rovers and spacecraft, and that's by it. A Gregory M. from Northbrook, Illinois.
Oh, my God.
I mean, dear God in heaven.
Isn't that the truth, though?
Ain't it, though?
It isn't it the truth.
One last thing.
Sure.
Happy birthday, Kathy.
Oh, you just put a smile on her face. You can open up your mic and say thank you.
Thank you, Marge. I appreciate it.
That's very sweet, Marge.
You're entirely.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Stay warm. Stay dry. It's going to be nasty here.
It is. Well, we're not there.
Yeah, well,
we're here in the sunny, okay, not so sunny south.
You chickened out.
That you got that. Thank you, Marge.
Take care.
All right. What, Kathy?
It will not be sunny on Sunday. There is one day a year where I can predict the weather with 100% accuracy.
And that's your birthday.
It has rained, sleeted, snowed, or some combination thereof on my birthday, all but one of my birthdays, and this is regardless of where I live.
Yeah,
it's like the little black cloud that follows the cartoon character around.
Joe Blitzvick or whatever.
Well, I don't remember.
Yeah, that was long before you were born.
But I remember the reference because I grew up around old people.
Well, and you still live with one. I am so glad Marge mentioned your birthday. I had no idea. It's when? Sunday?
Stop. You're not that bad.
Adam is calling from Chicago. Hey, Adam, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Well, happy birthday to Kathy.
Well, there we go.
Regardless of the weather.
Regardless of the weather. Thank you, Adam.
I love listening too much, I tell you. It's always very interesting when she calls.
Our Polish bureau chief. I forgot to mention that. Our Polish-American bureau chief.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a couple of times the dumbing down the American public and our young generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, I want to talk about the Kucinich, but I'll get to that in a second. You know, in the 50s, cybernetics was forbidden science in Soviet Union.
Right.
One of this, I don't know, was it Vienna or was Turing, one of those big ones wrote a paper how to use the principles of cybernetics to control people, to control the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And someone then, I don't know, Stalin or look at that and says, no, they want to squeeze the working class. So it was forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
But not forgotten, because later when you had this Gorbachev coup, they didn't took over the Crimea, or they didn't took over the Russian White House, the parliament. They took over the radio station, or the TV station.
Right.
And I think that we just perfected in this country these techniques, and we really perfected how to manipulate peoples and polls. And
well, yeah, it's not just the American right wing. The Russian right wing, the Japanese right wing, they all learned from the master himself, Joseph Goebbels. Who controls mass media controls the population. It is so simple. And that is exactly what they have tried to do in this country. And were it not for the Internet, this society, America, that I know you love and I love, would be doomed were it not for the Internet, were it not for the fact that we have an alternative source of connecting and finding information. This country would already be goose-stepping. This country would already have the broken cross on its flag. This country would already be a right-wing fascist government full-blown. It is nascent fascism now, and hopefully we'll stop it. We'll stomp it to death in its crib. But thank God for the Internet, Adam.
Well, thank you that Gore invented it.
yeah, you got that right. Yeah.
I was very angry about a half hour ago. I'm not that angry anymore, but I'm trying to say that politely without upsetting anyone. I'm really concerned when people calling and saying, well, you know, I really support Kucinich, but he is not electable, and therefore, you know, I'm going to vote for Howard Dean. And when the discussion gets too deep, I think, you know, maybe he's not a Kucinich person. Maybe he's a Dean person just trying to snitch another vote out of the Kucinich crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have to commend you for supporting Kucinich the way you do it. And I think all the good people support him. Well, I wanted to say that before the Iowa primaries, because probably everything will change after that.
Well, I think we also have to agree, Adam, that there are an awful lot of good people who support Howard Dean.
Well, no, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of good people who support Wesley Clark. Let's go one step further. Edwards and Gephardt and Kerry. It's hell. I think there are some good people running for the Democratic nomination, but I think people who really believe in Democratic Party values have to focus on Dennis Kucinich. And I do believe that, you know, I've said before, to me, using the term liberal Democrat is redundant. Democrats always have been liberal until the Democratic Leadership Conference, until Nixon, when Nixon developed the so-called Southern Strategy to separate Democrats by using race, by using gender, by using religion. But to say a liberal Democrat is to me a redundancy. Dennis Kucinich, and I say this with respect to the other candidates that deserve respect. Dennis Kucinich is the only Democrat in this. Howard Dean is what he is. Wesley Clark is what he is. Gephardt is what he is. But the only Democrat in this is Dennis Kucinich. And I'm not trying to piss anyone off. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. And again, I'll state it again, when I can no longer support Kucinich, I will support the nominee of the Democratic Party. But the only Democrat in this race is Dennis Kucinich. And I say that with love and compassion for my brothers and sisters who support these other candidates.
I could not agree with you, Mike Moore, and of course I will support any other whoever gets nomination, unless this is a Lieberman.
Unless it's Lieberman. I cannot go with Lieberman. I don't know what I'll do. I don't know. I'll go
Sometimes I'm getting cynic, Barry, and I say, well, you know, it's just that bad. Maybe Bush should come and be another 4 years, and then maybe people will finally wake up.
No, by the time that would happen, we would all wake up, but we would wake up in re-education camps, okay? Adam, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. I hope over the past several months that this thing has been building, the Democratic primaries, that I haven't irrevocably pissed anybody off who supports other candidates in the Democratic primaries. I do. I hope that's the case. I've got some people who contribute to this program who have been contributing to my program, whether it's been on this network or WLS or wherever it's been, for years, who do say, well, Kucinich, yeah, absolutely, but we have to get Bush out, and it's not Kucinich. And I deeply respect these people. These are people who have made this program over the years what it is. And I will not get into a spitting contest with these folks. I will not get into my candidate's better than yours kind of situation with these folks at all. I will support Kucinich, and when I can no longer support him, I will come support the person I would consider to be the next best candidate. But it will be a Democrat, because I am a Democrat. I will be a Democrat after they have cremated me and scattered me off the beach at St. George's Island. I will still be a Democrat. Greg is calling from VerifiedVoting.com. Hey, Greg. Hey, Greg. Okay, well, I thought we had Greg on the phone. I guess not. Terry is calling from Petaluma, California, our bureau chief out there. Hey, Terry.
Hey, good work again, Mike.
Well, thank you.
And happy birthday out there to all birthday people, too.
Right.
I am really glad to hear that you're going to have John Goodman on there. John
Buchanan.
Buchanan,
yeah. Yeah, up until a few weeks ago, I had no idea who he was.
Well, I sent you some information on him. I don't know if you know.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And I think it was your information that helped me, just say, hey, who is this guy?
Let me point out something to you that I think we ought to support this guy as much as we can. Not only does he like Kucinich, but I think we ought to support him because if you'll remember the tremendous edge that Perot gave Clinton.
Right.
Initial thrust there. And
sure
this guy could bring down a bunch of votes out of the Republican Party, just maybe enough to really make it a landslide.
Well, I'll be real interested in talking with him Monday night. Kathy said he talks, so we'll see what it's like to try to get a word in edgewise with this guy.
And as far as Kucinich, you have to take into consideration, here is a man who is creating the Peace Party,
mm-hmm.
and when you listen to him talk, he is constantly thinking positive and talking positive. He doesn't throw mud.
Right. And I think that was the point that Krugman was making in his column. I wish we lived in a society and, possibly some other time, 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, from a political point of view, Kucinich would have been Kucinich's approach of inclusion and gentleness. And I'm not saying he's a wimp by any means. He's a fiery speaker when he wants to be. But the point Krugman was trying to make, I think, is we are in an era now where it takes somebody with a killer instinct, somebody like a Howard Dean, somebody like a Wesley Clark, because we are up against some real fascist bastards who have no problem with destroying, utterly and absolutely destroying, anyone who gets in their way. And I just don't know.
I think the biggest problem we've got in this country, and I run into this all the time, every day almost, is the unbelievable lack of information and apathy that exists in this country.
Well,
people are not paying attention, and it's, we've got to get their attention somehow.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know how it's going to, if we have to slap them in the face or not. But
if the attention hasn't been gotten over the past 3 years and 2 months, I don't know what it's going to take to get the attention of the American people. If anyone takes a look, by any measurement, any yardstick, where we are now as compared to where we were 3 or 4 years ago, And if that person who takes that measurement is not dumbstruck with how this country has been corrupted, polluted, and destroyed by these Bush thugs, then that person is beyond reach, I would think. Hey, Terry, thank you. I appreciate you checking in, pal.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
With Mike Malloy.
5 before the hour. We're just about out of time here. Let's try Greg at verifiedvoting.com again. Greg, are you there?
Yeah, this is Greg. I am the webmaster of verifiedvoting.org.
There you go.
And I have spent the last several months working on this issue. Everybody is freaked about this.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that people can do. Come to verifiedvoting.org. We've got actions on there. We've got people who want to work with you in teams in various states.
Okay.
We need people who are passionate about this. And instead of sitting at home or calling talk shows and worrying about this, I need you to be calling your legislators. I need you to be going to the legislators' offices in coalitions and talking to their staff. And there are going to be other actions listed on our website. But the most important message that I can send is I need you to become active. We need thousands and thousands and thousands. Now, I spent some time last week in Free Republic talking to the Republicans about this.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people in that message board who are just as concerned about this for their own reasons.
Right.
And the thing that we need to do is to depoliticize this issue. This needs to be, and it is, a nonpartisan issue. This legislation, this HAVA, this is a Democrat bill that we're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is not Bush's bill that we're fighting. This is a Democrat bill.
I don't know about the bill, Greg. I wish we had time to get into it, but we're just flat out of time. Verifiedvoting.org. I hope a lot of people will come to your website. We need to talk some night. Call in before we're flat out of time, okay?
I'll do it.
All right, sir. Thanks, Greg. Go to verifiedvoting.org and see what Greg is talking about, all right? We are just about out of time. I wanted to get this in. Journalist John Buchanan, who is running against Bush in the New Hampshire primary, will join us Monday in our second hour. So come hang out for that. That ought to be interesting. Tonight's program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The program was engineered in Detroit by John Lucas. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. If you haven't been there, why not? If you go to MikeMalloy.com, go to the gallery. Just click on the gallery thingy. A lot of good stuff in there that you'll find interesting. And, of course, Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Thanks to all of you for participating in the program. I'll see you Monday, I hope. I really hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Ooh.
get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes...